The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber National Conference and Expo. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the program today. Afternoons with Mike here, heard around the Shepherd Radio Network. I have on the line with me today Terrence Chatman. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him face-to-face, but this is a good way to talk and to get to know each other. And Terrence, just a little bit about him. He is a family champion. He is a keynote speaker at a lot of conferences. He's an author. And he is considered to be a marketplace leader. And Terrence, it's a real joy to talk to people who have a heart that I know you have for the next generation. One of your books that you've written is Do Your Children Believe? And that captured my attention real quickly as a former pastor. So first of all, Terrence, welcome to the program.
Mike, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it's exciting to talk to people who have a heart for young people. And, you know, that seems like that should be the case for every parent. But, you know, we're living in a day and age where we're seeing a lot of people avoid maybe putting off starting a family for years. And then by the time they do, there's just so many who speak down on it. It's sad to realize that that's what's happened in our country. But it has definitely happened, hasn't it?
You know, it has. I believe that we're in a spiritual battle in regards to the family. And I think the pandemic has kind of revealed how deep that spiritual battle is right now. And there's so many reasons for that. This greatest crisis is what I'm calling it. It's happening right under our noses. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, we see things like faith flight, where folks are leaving the church, where folks are leaving just the whole theology and beginning to believe in nothing at all. And they don't realize when they believe in nothing at all, they believe in something. And so we see it played out in fragmented families, absenteeism of the father, you know, culture and media pressures, and, you know, family structures are even being attacked. They're just the basic tenets of our beliefs and what we're seeing played out is a brewing of what I call a tsunami. And that tsunami is a moral and spiritual decay tsunami. And I think that's what we're witnessing today in our society. But the good news is the tide can be turned.
You know, I got to believe that because God is God. And he is not just sitting back going like, oh, man, what a mess things are right now. What will we do? That is not our God, is it?
No, it really isn't. We have what we believe and what we know to not only be a powerful God, but a sovereign one. And one who, you know, he's not surprised. You know, he's not sitting up in heaven somewhere saying, oh, man, this is such a shock. You know, he totally understands. And as we look at this, and we see these daunting statistics and things of that nature, but what we don't talk about often is that, and as I travel around the world, I talk to parents on five continents, et cetera, as we're in 132 countries at Victoria's Family, it gives me great hope because I see fathers and mothers, children who are desperate, they're thirsty for God's word, they're thirsty for the truth. And the fact of the matter is that the Christian faith continues to grow. Families continue to thrive and flourish as a result of that. But we hear such a negative story. And I believe our story is always a good story because we have the solution. We have the calming, if you will, for this tsunami, for those who will humble themselves and listen.
I believe it. I think that is a major critical point that we just need to trust the Lord that people are hearing. And I'm grateful for you that you did. And I know that that didn't happen in a vacuum. Tell us a little bit about your growing up and how it was that you came to have faith in the Lord yourself.
Yeah, you know, when we think about faith, there's obviously that one act of salvation where you're justified just simply by the grace of Christ Jesus. And so when you think about faith and grace, it is certainly nothing I could do to earn that favor, to even begin to reach that point of what we call justification or salvation. It is certainly the work of the Lord. And so I give all praise, honor, and glory to him and the grace that he has bestowed and the sacrifice that he made on the cross on behalf of all of us who believe. And so, but the justification is just getting you on the starting line, you know. And so we call it a process. We're working out this process of righteousness in our life. And so as I look back on this, and my wife challenged me to really be the discipler within my family. And, you know, I was leading major organizations, but I was falling short as the spiritual leader of my home. In fact, my kids knew the Lord. They were walking. We were doing, checking all the boxes and praying and worshiping and so forth. But where I was falling short was being intentional in raising what we call instructing our kids in the Lord, discipling our kids, being intentional. And I wanted to be more intentional and not just wait wherever the wind blows. I wanted to have a plan, a direction, a vision, if you will, a destiny. And I always say, I don't want to make disciples when they're 5 years old. I'm trying to make disciples when they're 21 years old, meaning I'm preparing them for life. And then, you know, I would just simply say, you know, my walk is one of faith. My walk is where I'm going to fall short. But my instruction is to go back to the cross. Go back to the cross daily, where I see his suffering, where I see his sacrifice, where I see his surrender and his great humility. And that's why I find refuge. That's why I find his grace, and that's sufficient.
In your own conversion, how was it in the beginning for you when you compare to the way you grew up and then this call to faith? Did you see that really modeled out in your parents, or was this something that you saw in another leader?
No, I mean, thank the Lord. It was very prevalent in my home. We grew up in the church. We grew up. I just remember those fun days of sitting around the coffee table. And we had, you know, that 50-ton Bible back then. It was, you know, it was about 11 by 17, and all it had across the front was Holy Bible. And, of course, it had to be the King James Version. That was the only Bible that you would read, and so you would probably understand every third word
that's right.
You were reading. But what was so amazing about that is that I believe that this spiritual formation has to start in the home and be supported by the church. A lot of time we abdicate the responsibility to everyone else, the church, schools, whatever. But I believe it starts in the home. It has to be home-centered and church-supported. And my parents modeled that. As we sat around the table, of course, we, you know, went to Sunday school, went to, you know, regular, you know, worship service and so forth. And that's when, back in the day, where you go to church not just for a couple hours a week, you went probably 4 or 5 days a week, and on Sunday you went all day. There was nothing else to do. But my parents modeled that for me. My grandparents modeled that for me. Some of my uncles were in the clergy, was pastors, etc. And so we saw it modeled in the home. And my parents, in particular, as we sat down around the coffee table, just reading that Bible and them trying to make as plain as possible the words and the truths and the principles that they were presenting. And then they modeled that behavior. And I think that had a great impact on my life.
You know, it's so true, because if they weren't modeling the behavior, all of the other words that were spoken around the coffee table really start to sound a little different and not heeded as well. But more is caught than taught. And what you were able to observe is such a beautiful picture of the biblical kind of image that we're given about from the Word of God, where we're to take as parents, we're to teach our children well. And when they're walking, when they're rising in the morning, when at nighttime, every opportunity can be a wonderful opportunity to train your children and to do exactly what you got to experience. That's a wonderful heritage.
Well, it really is. And, you know, one thing we, as you look at this biblical worldview and the shift in it, you know, back in that time, as I grew up in the 60s, 70s, and some of my parents, obviously much earlier, they would be considered, some would say, the builder generation. And 65% of that builder generation, which was about 31 million or 47 million, had a biblical worldview. They looked at things from a biblical worldview, just simply how they looked at life, how they looked at God's influence on life, et cetera. But as that generation started to move to the next generation, the boomer generation, that biblical worldview dropped dramatically to about 35%, almost 50%. And then busters, bridges, some will say Gen X or millennials, it goes from 35 to 16% to 4%. I simply state those stats because we've seen a 90-some percent decrease in our biblical worldview over the last two decades, over the last two generations. And so that's significant, right? That has had an impact. And I also believe that we see less Christian parents expressing a feeling of adequacy when it comes to teaching their children biblical principles. And so if we feel inadequate, and we've seen this shift in biblical worldview, which is how we look and think about life and how we approach it, then I'm not surprised to see the moral and spiritual decay we see in the family today and the demise that's happening within our society, because if the family go, I believe the nation goes.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I've been reading in my devotional times, I've been reading through the Kings in the last couple of weeks. And if you want to see a picture of a desolate, dry, unbelieving time, just read through just about any chapter and you'll see that things were not all that great back then. And you know, that is just an example, though, of the perseverance and the faith that we can have in God, because God has a plan and his plan is not going to be undone. But we've got to pay attention as parents. And I love what you're doing. I believe that God calls leaders just like yourself to stand up and to say, no, this is what needs to happen. And this is the truth. And I love what you said earlier, Terrence. It's so true. The tide can be turned.
Absolutely. You know, now, so we've talked about Canada, maybe some challenging news and tsunamis and all this stuff. But now I want to turn around and give hope, because I want us to imagine families who are hurting today, but they start to flourish. They start to thrive. I want us to imagine families being a light in the world, not darkness. And the good news is you just need a little light in the darkness to just illuminate everything around you. And thirdly, I love our listeners to look to imagine the multiples multiplying and being mobilized around the world. It's starting in your own community, starting in your own backyard and apartments and highways right here. So I see a bright future. I see a bright future, not in the way man may look at it. I see a bright future because, you know, God doesn't want our best. He wants his best. And I believe that we can turn the tide by bringing his best into our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our mission at Victorious Family, is to say, how do we bring his best into our homes? I believe one of our focus scriptures is Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, really speaking to parents, the way I look at it, don't exasperate your children. But it says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's really family discipleship. And so that's the formula we're bringing to the table. The hope that we're bringing is family discipleship can change and turn the tide that we're seeing today.
Well, I love that. And it is without a doubt something that every family needs to look at. And even those that are attending churches, it's so easy. It's so easy to be affected by the tide of the culture that's around us. And we can start buying in as parents. We can start buying into hopelessness when we have all the reason in the world to have great hope because of the Lord. Tell us a little bit about your organization, Victorious Family. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Victorious Family, we have we're a nonprofit organization. We started about 12 and a half years ago. And what we do is equip and empower parents first to design a written spiritual plan for the spiritual formation, for the growth of their family. Whether you're a single parent, grandparent who's raising kids, whoever has authority in the home, The Lord says, bring them up in the training and instruction and who he is and what he's done. And so what we do is help parents to prepare to be intentional in how they're going to train and instruct. And so we start with an assessment of the family, where they are, where their marriage is, et cetera. And then we move into a very customized planning process to frame out for them how you can adequately train and instruct your kids in the Lord. You know, for example, what are your values as a family? Because it starts there, what we value, right? We do. And so what does those look like? We help the parent to flush those out. And then that moves into a vision statement, what we call a vision statement. You know, we all have a vision for our kids. The question is that vision taking them in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you achieve that vision is a mission. So we walk parents through this framework as to how to be intentional in raising your children in the Lord. And so one aspect of Victoria's Family, we have trainers and coaches that help parents walk through this process. We have one-day workshops that prepares them on how to begin to design this plan for their family. And third, we have a rich library of resources that helps them in age and stage of learning that we can make available to them at free of charge and is available to them to go into. And we have brought in major family champions that everyone would know to speak to these different topics. For example, you know, how do you really work through this issue of social media with your kids? Or how do you, you know, deal with that type of thing? How do you make it attractive for them to want to thirst to be in God's word and things of that nature? So we help parents kind of work through that process and start with a written plan. And then we coach them, what we call disciple them, if they like, along the way.
Terrence Chapman is my guest today, and he's from Atlanta, calling from there. And this is so helpful, I think, for parents to really hear this kind of talk, because they need encouragement. We're living in a time where all of these things that we're discussing that have these negative impacts on our families, it's everywhere. It's being spread through movies. It's being spread on television. A new way of thinking even about families is something that's out there. There's so much going on in that if we're not careful, it can be overloading and it can be completely overwhelming to parents. But thanks be to God, we've got people like Terrence who is out there. You're out there writing these books and speaking in conferences. And this organization that you've just told us about, Victorious Family, giving family members, giving parents a plan. That's what we need. We're going to be back with our guest today coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. It is a real privilege to have Terrence Chapman on the phone today and talking about the fact that he leads this organization called Victorious Family, and he's an author. The name of his book that we're talking about here is Do Your Children Believe? And this is something that is sad for me, having a pastor's heart and watching a lot of young people today. It's not an uncommon thing at all to see a post on Facebook or on Instagram where someone is going through a process that's become known as deconstruction. And when the first time this happened, it was almost like, what? Why are they doing that? What would cause them to do that? What would make this happen? Because it's not happening to people that are unnamed and they're out there someplace all by themselves. This is happening to people who are in church, actively involved in church. It's happening to friends of mine. And I'm trying to understand it. It's like getting my brain around something still that even though I know and I hear the talk, it's oft times, and I know a lot of parents feel the same way, doesn't make sense to them. How can you help parents who are going through this with their teens right now?
Well, you know, the way we define things, the way that we look at things, many people today are looking at our life and saying, you know, how do I feel about things? Or how can I kind of reconstruct family? How can I reconstruct what parents and who parents are and things of that nature? You know, if we can redefine how we look at things and what things are in the language that we're using or the systems that we put in place, i.e. the family system and structure, et cetera, then we can begin to try to attempt to change the very essence of family or parenting, et cetera. But, you know, this isn't anything new. I mean, for many, many centuries, people have tried to redefine, you know, family or society or truth, et cetera. And I just remember even back, you know, I just think it takes me back to Judges 2:10, that just one generation after Joshua died, an entire nation began to worship other gods. They began to and worship the gods of Baal. And what they tried to do is try to mix the god of Baals with the truth of God's word. And it just doesn't work. When we try to have these blended type of thinking and societies and worldviews. But I think there's signs of a healthy family that I want our parents to focus on, because I believe that it starts with the right mindset. And so how do we begin to shape their mind in terms of thinking and understanding truth, what it is, where we can find truth. And you know, there's a standard of truth that we all know and live by as Christians. Whether we do that, you know, we always say the biggest gap is between what we know and what we do. And so we know what to do. It's just living that, as Paul says, is, you know, I try to do it, but I can't do it even when I want to do it. So I think it starts with the right mindset. And then we have to have the right tools. And that's what we help parents to do, is develop the right tools to help them, you know, navigate through these murky waters and all of these different challenges, and the right plans and strategies to be intentional. And then how we model that behavior, which is so critical. I also believe that your prayer life is really, prayer is the lifeblood of what we do, is that communication, that connection with God that we have. We have direct access now. The veil has been torn. And as a parent, how do we teach our kids even about intercessory prayer and things of that nature, and how powerful prayer is? And then finally, I'll talk about the bonds that we need to shape, and these are just signs of a healthy family. There's a deep bond that we are developing, and how are we to be authentic and transparent to say, listen, we're not perfect parents, and we're never going to be a perfect parent. We're never going to be a perfect society. We're living in a broken world that has fallen, but yet we find hope. And that missing piece is the piece we all know as Christians. And so there's accountability for our actions. And we have to be available and build those relationships as parents. And we have to be unified in what I call in the spirit, because that's a common ground for us in terms of truth and what we believe in our systems. And so finally, I would just say that as the family structure is being attacked, it has been attacked for years. For centuries, ever since the beginning of time, this is nothing new. It's just a new approach, or maybe they think it's a new approach. But so therefore, we have to stay focused and prioritize on what I call the non-negotiables, and let's plan and by being intentional, and let's begin to understand what I call privilege and honor is to train and instruct our kids in the Lord. And so here's a bigger vision. What if our children investigated the faith, come to understand who Christ is and what he's done, and fall madly in love with the grace that he's demonstrated? I believe they would be compelled to do. And so it's Romans and James both thrown in. They see the love and the grace of God through Christ, but they're compelled to do out of that love, and as a result, they begin to do to glorify and honor him. That's the vision that we see for our families and the next generation.
What was it like for you to get a vision for this book, Do Your Children Believe? Can you take us back?
You know, the origin of this book was my own family. I wanted this light to shine in my own family. My wife had challenged me, are the kids prepared to defend their faith after high school? Our response came back, no, they're not prepared to defend their faith. And so her question back to me, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What is the church going to do about it? I wanted to point everywhere but at myself. And so as I began to look at our family, look at our life, and some folks will say, man, they're pretty good family. They're doing all the right things. I realized I was failing as the spiritual leader of my own home. And the question I asked myself is, do my children believe? What do they believe? Could their faith be shaken if they leave our confines? The stat is 75% of kids walk away from the faith after high school. And I don't believe they walk away from the faith. I just believe they walk away from the church experience. And so you can't walk away from something that you never walked to in the first place. I believe we don't earn our favor. We don't earn our salvation. It's something that because of what he's done and by grace, we have been called into that. So I look at it this way, as I was asking just basic questions around our family and where we were. I thought about the generations upon generations that would come to know Christ by parents being intentional in raising their kids in the Lord. And I see where my father challenged me and our siblings. It's not enough for just me to believe. The question is, what am I going to do with that? Because the Lord wants to see generations upon generations come into a personal relationship with him. And so how are we going to be, as parents, intentional? What was going to be our vision, our process? And so I wanted to reach a generation by equipping a generation. And so that's kind of what started the whole premise of the book. And I started to look at how we're going to do this in a systemized, intentional way. How we're going to teach a 5-year-old different than a 16-year-old. What's the age and stage of growth that I see? And so it started my journey to write this book out to help parents to be intentional in raising their kids in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that is the big problem with parents? Is it something that maybe they're just not even aware?
Yeah, I think many, when I look, I go all around the world, we talk to parents, I ask the same question. I said, I find that less than 1% of Christian parents have a written spiritual plan to lead, guide, and direct their path. And I think, writing it down is so critical, because as we write things down, it gets done. Even the Lord said to Joshua as they crossed over the Jordan, he says, listen, build this monument so that you and generations to come will remember what has happened here. And so he even talks about it throughout, to write it down, to make it plain so that generations upon generations will know what happened here. And so often our story, which is our story of our testament, it dies with us. We go on never to hear the transformational story of our great-grandparents, our great-great-grandparents, et cetera, dies with us. And so we start asking parents, have you shared your personal testimony with your children? It's just that simple. And the other question, have you ever heard your children's testimony? I believe it's one of the most powerful stories that we can tell about our life. Mm-hmm. It's how Christ came into our life and our life was changed forevermore.
What do you think is the compelling reason why parents fail at this so often? Why do they miss telling their own story, telling their own history and their testimony?
Yeah, many may not even think about it. We may not even have it on our radar. We're just trying to go through life and survive. And I think about, for example, my youngest daughter just had twins. And so she has 3 kids under 2 years old.
Wow.
And life is so, if you think about life, you wake up, it's about, caring for those children. The 2-year-old has a lot of energy, right? And now you have twins, right? And so now all hands on deck and you're just trying to make it through the day. From feeding to changing diapers to, lack of sleep, sleep deprivation, you're trying to make it through life as a young parent and so you're not even thinking about the most important aspect of your life, which is how you're going to raise these young kids in the Lord. And the second reason, not only because life is just, it occupies us, but the second reason is that 65% of parents feel inadequate. And we can't teach what we don't know. And our biblical illiteracy is at an all-time high. Less than 10% of Christians even read their Bible to understand what they are to be teaching. And so when you have all of these things coming together, it's making for a perfect storm. And so we need to turn the tide and say, listen, he's not looking for your best. He's looking for his best for your family.
Mm-hmm.
He has already laid out the blueprint. Your job is to love them and love them well, and to teach them first the love of the Father that is right here in these 66 books that's available to us. And let's make it plain. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it repetitive and be consistent. But so far, you know, many parents, they say, man, life is just so daunting. It's just so overwhelming. How do I just put this one thing in my life? And so I'll say this quickly. My life changed when I realized that I needed to put God first in my life. If I really believe that he's sovereign, then to put him first in my life changed significantly. And then, of course, my marriage, and then my children, and then whatever, my work, et cetera. And that's really Ephesians 6:4 laid out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should just look at what does it mean to seek him first, to put him first in our life? What does that look like? And will our life change as a result of that? I believe it will.
What are some of the things, some of the areas that need to change in families that would be on that list of something that if you do wake up and you do ask those questions and you say, this has got to change, what would be some of the items that you think parents need to be doing a better job on?
Yeah, I think every day and every moment is a teachable moment. And so, one, be available. Look for those teachable moments. It doesn't always have to be, hey, let's beat them over the head with some Bible text, et cetera. But it's every moment is a teachable moment. Let them see the characteristics of Christ in you on a daily basis. The way that you speak to them, the way that you love on them, the way that you care for them, the way that you share truth with them. Let that reflect the light, the character of Christ. And so here's some ways we start. It's just simply, as I think about, you know, our heartbeat and how do we approach this? First, let's be intentional. Let's have a plan. Let's have a vision for our children. Let's begin to implant, you know, to plant that vision on a regular basis in their hearts, in their minds. But not to say this is what you should believe, but to simply say, investigate this faith. Investigate these truths on your own to say, do you really believe that is real? And so once you come to investigate it by studying God's word, by worshiping, by praying, et cetera, and asking him to reveal his plan for your life, I think life would be transformed because it has to be a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. So we can do, you know, there's 50 million books and content on, yeah, different ways to raise your kids in the Lord, you know, Bible study, devotional groups, prayer guides, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, we have free prayer guides and devotional guides for parents on our website that you can download. But the key here is how are you living your life in front of your children? What are you saying? What are you doing? It's word and deed, and they're watching everything you do more so than what you say. But here's the key, Mike, I want to leave every parent with. This is so important. I hope that they put their ear up to the whatever their listening device is right now. This is what I've learned. You know, I can teach them, I can try to demonstrate everything I can the best I can, but I'm going to fall short. And that's okay. We live a life of repentance and forgiveness and so forth. But here's the key. What I want to focus them on is taking them back to the cross on a daily basis. Because, see, the Father will never fail them. His grace is sufficient. And so it's not about what I do. It's about what he's done. And how am I to teach my kids about what he's done? And as a result, he's calling them to do. And that is the difference in what we do versus the 7 points to a better family. But, you know, the 7 points to the better family is laid out in 66 books that I can't ever duplicate.
That's right. You know, what you're talking about is the pure simple gospel of Jesus. And putting that back before our kids and making that part of our discussion, I like how you said it. I wrote it down. Take them back to the cross every day. If we did that, what a difference we would have in our American families.
Absolutely. And give them that vision. You know, I always say, you know, imagine a room of four walls. And three of those walls are just blank walls, they're empty walls, they're, you know, dry walls. Mm-hmm. And one wall has a window. And every day the Lord just says, go out and don't focus on all the noise that's on the three other walls. You're going to paint that story. You're going to put pictures of memories and life stories on those walls. But I want you to peer outside. I want you to look at that window on a daily basis, and you will see my glory. You will see my magnificence. You'll see my power. You'll see my love, my grace. Just peer out that window, and you'll see upon the horizon something so magnificent that the other three walls can never duplicate. But yet, if you peer out that window and look at it, and he will reveal himself, he will paint the other three walls with you in your life. And those three walls will be magnificent because they glorify his magnificence and beauty.
I love it. My guest is Terrence Chapman. We'll be back with one more segment coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Enjoying my chat today with Terrence Chapman. Terrence leads Victorious Family. He's president and CEO from the Atlanta area. He does messages, he writes books, he speaks around the world on these very important topics. And one of them, I guess you could call the crystal clear callings that this man has, is to call our families back to the gospel and really understanding that. I love that illustration. We were kind of up against the break the last time, but you were giving us that illustration on this one beautiful wall, and we're in a room where three of the walls are undone and maybe not quite the way we'd like them, but we've got to pay attention to what is most important. And I think of the verse, Terrence, that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And that's really what leading is about. It's paying attention to what is the priority, what is the most and more important message. This is the message that we hear in the scripture that we heard from the start. That gospel message has got to be there, doesn't it?
It really does. And I believe that the kingdom can be expanded through the family, starting in the home, preparing parents to be the disciples of their children. That's what we're called to do. That's the privilege that we have. And so how do we equip and what I call equip and deploy these family champions, these parents, so that they can feel adequate? Mm-hmm. We all want to feel affirmed. We all want to feel like we're capable. And when we don't, then we either fight or we flight. And today, so many parents are flighting when they should be fighting. And so, and I'm saying fighting in love and an approach that says, let's bring forth the kingdom. And my vision is, what does it look like to see kingdom-minded parents building kingdom legacy homes? Wow. What does that look like? If we are intentional in doing that, would things be different in our society today?
Without a doubt.
I think it would be, yes.
Without a doubt. And you know, what I love about the picture that you've given us about this, your vision that God gave you that is now resulted in these books and these teachings and the speaking at all these places around the world, it began not with success, but it began with you realizing that there were things that needed to change in your own life, in your own family, and a discussion with your wife is what is the kind of the instigation of all of these changes in you. That can happen to other people.
Yeah, you know, questions often change life, right? I mean, there was plenty of questions if we look back at the text. You know, Jesus wasn't, what must I do to be saved? You know, there's all types of questions. And in this particular case, the question was, Terrence, are the children prepared to defend their faith after high school? You know, that took me to a perfect place, which is on my knees. And I began to say, Lord, help me, lead me, guide me through this process. And I just remember even today, as this is now, I think back on this question some 20-some years ago. And I began to look at my life, and I realized that, you know, I've been in church from the very beginning and learning God's word. But what I grew up under what I call a performance theology. It was a theology about what I did. You know, we were going to church. We were probably going to hell every Sunday. It's just a matter of when, you know. Where was the grace in all of that? But you know, in that, I certainly learned some things. But, you know, my brother and I just think about, you know, how do we perform? How do we be these good, quote-unquote, Christians? And we're certainly called to strive for that excellence, but we're going to fall short. We're setting ourselves up for failure if we do that. And many years later did I even hear the story of grace and what that looks like and sounds like and feels like. And so I didn't understand that it wasn't about what I do necessarily up front to earn God's favor. It's not about that at all. I was trying to do and be righteous, to be good, but I couldn't. And the challenge comes is when I changed the focus, or he changed the focus in me, which is, Terrence, focus on a couple of things, my sovereignty, my love, my grace, and then focus on my son and the cross and what he has done, and we see something magnificent. And as a result, you fall in love with that and you begin to do. But here's the key. You know, I had learned words. You know, I grew up as a pitcher, you know, coming up. I pitchers, we have a mindset. You know, we're in every play. We want a baseball pitcher. We want to strike folks out.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We want to win. We want to succeed, right? And so my words were words like, you know, I want to achieve. I want recognition, right? I want all these things. And that carried forth to my professional career. I led major companies and so forth. But the Lord gave me a different set of words. I mean, words that I didn't even like, Mike. It was words like humility, words like surrender, sacrifice, and words like great dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't like those words. I like my words better, you know? I like my words, but he said, no, I can't use you in any way. And it's just my story. This doesn't mean it's your story. It may be a different set of words. But he says, Terrence, I want a you that humbles yourself and seek my face and prioritize what's important. And secondly, sacrifice and surrender your will for mine. Mm. And then dependent. Be dependent on me because your way is insufficient. Although you're unique and you're made in a special way, but my way is better. Will you trust that?
Right.
And as I fell on my face, just in total, you know, forgiveness, saying, Lord, forgive me. He says, man, I can use you in this way. It doesn't mean that you're weak and that you are given. No, it's strength. It's strength to be in that surrendering and sacrifice and humility and dependence. You find strength there in the most powerful being that ever existed. He is the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I trust his plan better than mine?
Right. Do you feel that the churches today in America, you mentioned earlier something that I wanted to follow up on. You said that kids that are walking away today are not so much walking away from their faith, but they're often walking away from the church. Do you feel like there's an issue that the churches could do a better job on in America today?
Well, you know, we debate that question quite often, and I'm an elder in the church, and I believe in the church. It is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. I believe in it. I have faith and confidence in it. So here's my perspective I love to share with you. As I have worked with students in colleges, I can tell you that we have an issue. But one thing that I learned that totally surprised me in a survey we conducted last year, I found that of 98% of the kids in the survey I spoke to who says, I'm not a Christian, I don't even know what that looks like. My parents never talked to me about it. They never took me to church, whatever. Or those who says, yeah, my parents took me to church, et cetera, but I've walked away from the faith. It's no longer what I want to practice. Here's what we did find, and this is the hope. Of that 98% of the kids that says, no, I don't believe in Christianity or nothing at all, what have you, we call them the nuns, the N-O-N-Es. 98% of them said, I would be open to hear more about Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you understand, 98%, hey, I'm not interested. I'm walking away. I'll see you later. But 98%, listen, I'll listen to a healthy debate, to a discussion on it. And here's what I found. It's not that they even walked away. It's that they didn't take anything away with them. They were attending church, being forced to go to church, if you will, and that's the words that they use, quote unquote. But I just believe that what the church has gotten away from overall and in general, not every church, is the accountability. The focus on truth. You know, nowadays we want to tickle the ear, tickle the feet, tickle the heart. And what we need to do is presenting God's word in its purity and for what it is, and deal with these societal issues based on truth, but with love. And our motivation has to be pure. So I'm an optimist because I believe the church has a role to play.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm an optimist, right? And there will never be, you know, most people say, well, you know, the church is, you know, people are going to walk away. The church is open. We are in a period of time where we see the decline, the lack of trust, and so many other things. But Mike, here's what I'm proposing. It's not the church, the four walls of the church. It's the two legs of the church. You know, it's the heart of the church. We have to begin to demonstrate what Christ has demonstrated to us.
Mm.
And that's what folks are looking for, is authentic, transparent. And I'm calling the church back to discipleship.
I love
Let's
that.
Let's begin to invest in the lives again, and we will see a strong, healthy church and society. And let's start by preparing these parents to be the spiritual leaders of their home.
That's a beautiful call right there, and it is a true one. And going back to a parent's role, their role is to disciple their own family. And that takes us back to the very beginning of this. What happened to you? What happened in that conversation with your wife where you're asked that question? Are they going to be prepared to defend their faith when they get out of high school? And you know, that's a really great question that I believe every one of our listeners, regardless of whether you're hearing this on air or on podcast, your children, are they confident in God? Do they know how to defend what they believe? Do they believe? These are questions that may mess up your day, but they'll correct your life.
They really will. You know, I want to give people a vision picture, if you will, as you ask God to give you a vision for your family and for your children. And he will give you that. And this is, you know, this may not be a biblical vision here, but this is my vision, right? At the end of the day, I'm going to leave this place. The Lord is going to call me home. And I think about that day, and I just imagine a welcoming committee. And I'm thinking about a welcoming committee as he introduces. It's going to be a glorious day because I'm with the Father, but I think about that day, and again, I'm not saying this is just my picture. I just want to give you. And I imagine that day that no one comes out. My son, my daughter, my mother, my father, my grandparents, no one comes out. Is that still going to be a glorious day? Absolutely. I'll be with the Father, but I imagine a different day. A day that he turns and brings out the welcoming committee, and I see my sons, my daughters, my father, my mother, grandparents, and generations upon generations, not mm-hmm. even in my immediate family, but just folks that I've shared the gospel with, or folks that the Lord has led me to, and I was faithful just to share and introduce who he is and what he's done. I believe that day is going to be glorious. You know, for many years, I led in a very top-level position at the Coca-Cola company and organizations like that, and my goal was to sell billions of bottles of sugar-coated colored water. And I did it, you know, my team did it well. Some of the top, you know, billions of dollars of Coca-Cola. And I just remember, you know, does the Lord really care about how many bottles of Coca-Cola I'm going to sell? And granted, I can do ministry where I live, work, and play.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. But the one thing he has given us a privilege to do and a responsibility to do, which is to raise our kids in who he is and what he's done. And I think it's the greatest joy that I'm going to one day meet generations upon generations of those family members who has walked this life honoring him and glorifying him. That's going to be a glorious day in my mind. Is that a vision worthy of my time, my energy, my focus?
It is.
I believe it is.
Yes, it is. What a day that will be. Terrence, we've got just about 30 seconds left. Give us your address. How can people get in touch with you, your web address? How can they get the book?
Yeah, Victorious, I-O-U-S, victoriousfamily.org. And the book is, you know, Amazon, wherever, Do Your Children Believe. And we love to get not only one copy, but get several copies and hand it out to friends. And we love to do a workshop in your church, one-day workshop where we come in and train parents. We've trained now over 100,000 parents
mm-hmm.
over the last 12 and a half years on how to be intentional in raising your kids in the Lord. Again, victoriousfamily.org.
Terrence Chapman, thank you for being with me today. We got to get you back on the show another time, my friend. This was a really great time together. And thank you so very much.
Mike, thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you're doing in the kingdom.
God bless you. And friends, we'll see you next time on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber, National Conference and Expo.